Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about a new survey on electric vehicle ownership from JD Power with some interesting implications for Tesla. We also have some news from Giga Berlin, as well as Fremont, a couple of Teslas spotted there under wraps, and some insight into the new casting machine at Fremont. Then we have a few stories after that, including Waymo directing some comments seemingly at Tesla. Quick look at Tesla stock for the last day of trading for the week. Tesla today managed to, after trading in the red most of the day, finish up 0.2% to $846.64. The NASDAQ also flipped positive towards the end of the day, up 0.1%. Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to point out that if you feel like you're missing an episode from yesterday, no, you're not. There wasn't one. As I said on Twitter, I just felt like yesterday there was really not a lot of news. And with earnings coming up, I think my time and the listener's time would be better focused on other things rather than just trying to push an episode out for the sake of having it. When that does happen, I'm not just like taking the day off or anything. I'm still working. It's just working on stuff that's more long-term. And I actually think that'll end up being more valuable for this group. So I don't know. I consider the audience to be either like my boss or stakeholders at least. So it's important for me to share that. And I think eventually some of these things will become more clear. Anyway, enough of the boring stuff. Let's get into today. I want to start off with this JD Power survey, which some of us may roll our eyes at, but I actually think is pretty insightful. So this is the first electric vehicle experience ownership study by JD Power. They've given us limited information here, but we can kind of cobble it together to make some conclusions. First, they've looked at the percentage of EV owners that say that they will consider purchasing an electric vehicle in the future. And then they've also composed this overall EV experience ownership index score, which is based on responses in seven different categories: accuracy of stated battery range, availability of public charging stations, battery range, cost of ownership, driving enjoyment, ease of charging at home, and vehicle quality and reliability. Beyond that, the methodology is not clear to me. I don't know how those seven categories add up to 1,000 points, where the weighting variances are. So it's a little bit convoluted, not just a simple yes or no satisfaction score. But when we look at the rankings here, Tesla has taken all four of the top slots for premium battery electric vehicles, and then including mass market battery electric vehicles, Tesla has taken four of the top five slots. Out of 1,000 points in the premium segment, the Model S led the pack at 798, the Model 3 second at 790, Model Y shortly thereafter at 780, the Model X taking a bit of a dip down to 758. After that, the next closest in the premium segment is the Audi e-tron at 686 points, followed by the Jaguar I-Pace at 669. If we pull in the quote-unquote mass market battery electric vehicles, the Kia Niro is the only one to best any of the Tesla scores, with a score of 782, slotting it right in between the Model 3 and the Model Y. Worth noting that even though the Niro is classified as mass market, it actually has a higher starting price than the Model 3 at about $39,000. For more context, the Niro has a 64 kilowatt hour battery and 239 miles of estimated EPA range. Where I'm guessing the Niro gained ground on Tesla was on quality, so we don't get a ton of details on how these categories break down, but they do have a couple paragraphs here explaining some of those. So they talk about driving enjoyment versus quality concerns, and they say that, quote, "While driving enjoyment varies significantly by segment, 892 for premium BEV and 758 for mass market BEV, only in the mass market segment does driving enjoyment outweigh quality and reliability. Quality and reliability is the most important factor of the premium electric vehicle ownership experience. It's notable that while Tesla is seen to have poor quality, Tesla owners are more highly satisfied overall, indicating their willingness to overlook quality problems," end quote. So I don't know, I think this is a perfect example of how this quality stuff boils down for me. JD Power here is arbitrarily seemingly deciding how important to rank quality and reliability, and specifically even within those we don't know how much they're rating quality versus reliability, as those are actually extremely different. And notice here it says Tesla is seen to have poor quality. It doesn't say Tesla is seen to have poor reliability. So this is probably some data that shows us that Tesla's quality can improve, which every time we talk about this topic I do note, but I think selectively gets ignored. But when we approach things from an investor perspective, those quality issues are not significant enough to the point where they are dragging down owner satisfaction to be even in the realm of other automakers. Tesla consistently, whether we look at Consumer Reports or that Bloomberg survey or here in JD Power, are seeing really, really high satisfaction scores. So for me, it kind of boils down to, should panel gaps be improved? Yes. Are people in some specific circumstances receiving cars that should be definitely much better? Yes. But am I going to sell shares in Tesla because of that? Absolutely not. That leads me into the next point, which is the main point that I wanted to make about the survey. And that has to do with responses about whether these EV owners would consider purchasing another EV in the future, as well as the likelihood for them to repurchase the same brand. So overall, JD Power here says that among all these respondents, 82% of them say they definitely will consider purchasing another EV in the future. I assume this is on a 5-point scale, so definitely will being the most confident, probably down to likely will, then neutral, likely won't, and definitely won't, something like that. I think that's very strong overall, but what's more interesting here for Tesla is how the brand scores come in. So we don't have that broken down, but they do say that, quote, the study finds that 95% of EV owners whose overall ownership satisfaction exceeds 900 points say that they will purchase another EV. Nearly two-thirds of these owners say they definitely will repurchase the same brand, end quote. So nothing too surprising there. These are the most satisfied owners. Of course, they're more likely to stay with what gave them that satisfaction. However, they write, quote, likelihood to repurchase the same brand lessens as satisfaction declines. Among owners whose satisfaction is between 600 and 750 points, 77% indicate they definitely will purchase another EV, although their likelihood of repurchasing the same brand is only 25%, end quote. Now, I think this is extremely interesting because of the bucket that they chose there. So between 600 and 750 points. If we go back and we look at Tesla's score, they were between 758 and 798 on average. So some Tesla owners would fall into that 600 to 750 point bucket, because again, that's just Tesla's average score, but we would have to guess that that bucket is mostly non-Tesla owners. Even though this group is comprised of the owners that are not all that satisfied, at least relatively to other EV owners, with their EV, 77% of them are still saying they're going to buy an EV next time, but many of them are saying they're going to go with a different brand. So this has been the sort of bullish argument on Tesla competition for a long time, that other companies are going to introduce these electric vehicles that get their customer base comfortable with EVs, and then they're going to realize that, hey, Tesla's value proposition is better, and they're going to switch over to Tesla. These clearly segmented results here seem to provide some support to that idea. Definitely something I would find concerning for other brands. So I have reached out to JD Power to see if there's any more information that they're willing to share on this. Ideally, it'd be great to just have by brand what percent of owners are going to buy the same brand again. But that's probably what JD Power is trying to sell, so I'm not hopeful there. We'll see. Probably the only other insight that they are sharing here is on charging. They say that, quote, satisfaction with the availability of public charging is 305 points higher among Tesla owners than among owners of other brands, end quote. If I do get any more updates there, I will pass it along. It looks like JD Power also has planned an electric vehicle home charging study, a public charging study, as well as an electric vehicle consideration study. I'm not sure when those are expected to be published, but we'll keep an eye out for those as well. Next up here, we've got some good news on Giga Berlin. BZBerlin.de is reporting that Tesla is able to now begin working on the battery cell factory for Berlin, but that any work they do right now would be at their own risk, as full approval would still be ongoing. So this is essentially how we've seen Tesla operate throughout the entirety of the construction of Giga Berlin. I would expect Tesla to take that risk, get started on as much as they can right now as they wait for full approval. Per this report, the Federal Ministry of Economics says that, quote, Tesla is allowed to spend money on planning, machines, suppliers, and employees of the battery factory even before our funding decision without losing the right to state aid, end quote. BZ also reports that Tesla must submit the building application for the battery factory to Brandenburg's State Environment Agency, just like it did for the car factory, that the plans will then be publicly displayed, anyone can object, but apparently a public hearing like there was for the car factory is not necessary in this case. So some good news there in Berlin, and we will definitely keep an eye out for any of the battery factory plans if they are published. All right, next here, let's hop over to Fremont. We have some interesting things that have been spotted in a drone flyover video by the YouTube channel Gabe and CA. First would be a look at Tesla's massive casting machine in operation, sometimes called the Giga Press. So you can see the casting in process, then you can see a robot come in and take the newly cast piece, kind of cool. And by my count, that was happening every about 184 seconds, so let's say every 3 minutes. Operating nonstop, that would be about 480 per day, or about 3,400 per week, or 175,000 per year. But of course, that's just the extrapolated rate. There would be downtime. As for the rest of the video, there was an interesting shot of three covered, presumably Tesla vehicles being moved around, as well as actually a fourth vehicle sitting off to the side but not being moved at that moment. Can't really tell anything about them from above the covers, but obviously we are all curious right now if there is going to be a refresh of the SNX, and if these covered vehicles are those, then it could hint to maybe some exterior changes involved in that refresh. Last quick thought on this topic. I think we're really lucky and fortunate to have people that are going out there and doing this drone footage, but I do think we need to be a little bit careful. You know, Elon has said that he is cool with it, just that it needs to be at a fair distance, which that's obviously subjective. And I know we're all curious for updates and investors are always looking for new information, but we should also be respectful of Tesla's private property. And the way I look at it is, you know, if this were your business, if Tesla was your business, what would you be okay with someone else filming? And if that feels off, it's probably a good measure to pull back a bit. All right, next up here, let's talk about autonomy. We have quite the headline from Bloomberg today. They write, quote, Tesla's autopilot won't achieve full autonomy, Waymo CEO says, end quote. This comes from an interview that Waymo CEO John Krafcik did with Manager magazine, in which he said, quote, it is a misconception that you can simply develop a driver assistance system further until one day you can magically jump to a fully autonomous driving system, end quote. As a standalone comment, I think that actually kind of makes sense. You know, you're not going to take lane keeping and traffic aware cruise control and suddenly over time that's just going to become fully autonomous. You have to build for autonomy from the start. But that's where Tesla kind of gets pulled in, because apparently later in the interview, Krafcik said that Tesla is, quote, developing a really good driver assistance system, end quote. So on one hand, he's saying that you can't turn really good driver assistance into full autonomy, and then he's saying that Tesla is building really good driver assistance. Interestingly, this is the second time in the last couple of weeks that Waymo has made comments that seem to be directed towards Tesla. In a blog post in early January, Waymo announced that they would no longer be referring to their technology as, quote-unquote, self-driving, but rather autonomous driving, saying that, quote, we're hopeful that consistency will help differentiate the fully autonomous technology Waymo is developing from driver assist technologies, sometimes erroneously referred to as quote-unquote self-driving technologies, that require oversight from licensed human drivers for safe operation, end quote. So I don't actually mind that. For the last few years, certainly full self-driving has been a misnomer. I have no issues with autopilot, but full self-driving I think has been misleading. But the hope is, the intent for Tesla is to eventually, as they go forward, deliver on that and actually have a fully autonomous vehicle enabled by that full self-driving option. So it's interesting now to see Waymo a couple times in the last couple of weeks to come out and say, hey, this is fully autonomous. Hey, we are different than Tesla. Tesla's not going to be fully autonomous. Even going as far as saying that Waymo doesn't see Tesla as a competitor. To me, all of this positioning comes across as Waymo feeling threatened. Do we think it's a coincidence that all of these statements from Waymo are coming out right after Tesla started releasing the full self-driving beta to a limited group? I sure don't. I mean, they've had years where they could have been critical of Tesla for calling their option full self-driving. And now, as that terminology actually gets more accurate over time, now Waymo comes out and says, oh, hey, no, we're the ones that are doing autonomy. That's not autonomy. It feels defensive to me. I think Waymo has seen the full self-driving beta results. I think they've seen the high valuation now of Tesla, seeing that the market is starting to buy into this at least a little bit. So I think they're using these statements to again try to position as Tesla being inferior in terms of their capability and trying to seed that narrative before the FSD beta becomes more prevalent. From Tesla's perspective, I think that's probably a good sign. Next here, we've got an update on Tesla's MCU situation. So of course we had that recall, 158,000 Model S and X vehicles. We went through the details on that over a couple episodes. We came to the conclusion that the replacement part was only about $120 plus labor, so not a huge deal. All in, probably less than $50 million for Tesla. And I mentioned that it was kind of a unique situation that Tesla was in, because they had the ability to upsell off this recall, which obviously you never want to recall in the first place, but if you can upgrade customers while they're getting a recall, why not? With Tesla offering that $2,500 MCU upgrade, which enables things, of course, like Netflix, YouTube, games, more responsive UI, so pretty significant upgrade. And if you're already getting service on that MCU, well, you're probably at least going to think about if you want that upgrade. So that used to be $2,500. Tesla has now lowered the price on that upgrade from $2,500 to $1,500. I think that's an awesome move from Tesla to make the best of an unfortunate situation with the recall. I'm sure part of the price before for the $2,500 upgrade was just the fact that it takes away from other necessary service items. Well, if the MCU becomes a necessary service item, then you don't have that additional cost of displacing other necessary service items anymore. So why not just lower the price, make that upgrade more enticing for people that have to get service anyway, drive some additional revenue, maybe even a bit of positive margin on that, offset the cost of your recall, and on top of that, cost effectively give your customers a lot of new functionality that they didn't even have available when they bought the vehicle. Some people on Twitter are saying Tesla's being like manipulative around this recall. No, that's such a ridiculous argument. It's not like they're taking away the option to just do the recall. If you don't want the upgrade, don't buy the upgrade. It's just an option. So great move by Tesla, in my opinion. Obviously, it'd be better if they never had a recall. They didn't do this intentionally, of course. Recalls happen. That's just a part of automotive manufacturing. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with trying to make the best of it when it does happen. In fact, there'd actually be something wrong with not trying to make the best of it. That would just be negligent management, so I'm glad to see that Tesla does not operate in that way. All right, last couple of things for today. Yesterday on Twitter, Elon Musk announced that he is going to be donating a $100 million prize towards the best carbon capture technology. Musk said to expect more details next week, but it'll be interesting to follow. According to the Grantham Institute, in 2019, there were just 17 operating carbon capture and storage projects in the world, cumulatively capturing 31.5 megatons of CO2 per year. It looks like energy-related emissions are about 33 gigatons per year, so that would be about 0.1%. Lastly, we'll wrap up the week with a quick check-in on SpaceX. I mentioned at the start of this week, it's a big week for the company. So earlier this week, they did successfully complete the launch and deployment of 60 Starlink satellites, as well as the successful landing of the first stage booster, which is actually the eighth landing for that booster, which is a new record. Then tomorrow, they will launch 10 more Starlink satellites on a ride-along program with another mission, so keep an eye out for that. And then, as I mentioned, there might be a test flight this week of Starship SN9. Well, they didn't quite make it to the test flight yet, but it looks like this morning they did do the static fire for SN9 on the launch pad. I don't think, as I'm recording, that we have a full report on that yet, but Elon did tweet out a photo, and the speculation seems to be that it did go well, so perhaps we'll see a test flight of the SN9 next week. So that'll wrap it up for this week, and we will turn our attention to next week. Of course, we have earnings. Maybe we finally hear something about the Model S and X refresh. But either way, it should be a pretty exciting week after a relatively slow one this week. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you next week for the Monday, January 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.